Rocky, you can put up that that song, just the first title of that. But next Wednesday, I don't know about you, but I had a friend, he sent me a YouTube. And it was a good YouTube. It was powerful. A real hard hammer of what the church really, really needs in the day that we're living. And, I want to encourage you. I think for sure next Wednesday we're gonna play that thing. And it will, you know, if you're not looking for a good heavy hammer and some good directions in what to do in the future, stay home. But if you're hungry to see God do something and begin to bring in a revival and begin to change some of the things around and take back what the enemy has stolen from America, amen? And that we begin to beat back the powers of hell. You know, the Bible promises that there'll be a latter rain, that there'll be a revival. Greater shall the latter be than the former. And it's not going to come in because the church is playing games or entertaining people. It's going to come in because people know the power of Jesus Christ. And they're willing to stand in a gap. They're willing to speak the truth in the midst of adversity. And God is going to anoint us with power and love and mercy. Amen? And so if you're ready for that, you know, I don't know about you, but I was pretty impressed because most people today don't stand up and say these things. But 100% it is exactly what we need. We need to stay. We need to say, and we need the church to begin to do these things. And so I don't know about you. I believe that that's the direction that God is going. Amen? And with that, Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts tonight. God, we give you permission to write upon the tablets of our heart. And God, let it be written with the Spirit of God. And God, just washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bind all the powers of hell that would hinder people. And Lord, even as our sister asked for prayer for this child, Lord, those are lies of the enemy. We bind them in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that there would be just a supernatural touch for that child, that there is absolutely no effect, that God, that you make all things new, and that's what we receive from the very throne of God. So, Lord, tonight, let your Spirit speak to our hearts. God, let it not just be normal words, but God, let it be words that go into the depth of our being and produce fruit, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible talks about how good things come down from above. Amen. And we need some good things. We very much need some good things. The Bible talks about the fullness of God, not half full. Not empty. But, you know, I remember when God began to move in my life and the Holy Spirit was doing things that I couldn't hardly get my mind wrapped around. And I remember the first time they sang that song, I am satisfied with Jesus, fully satisfied. And I tell you what, my heart just said, yeah, there's nothing like Jesus. I don't know about you, but, you know, today there's very few people that are satisfied. But yet Jesus Christ can fully satisfy us. As we begin to walk and be in his presence and we begin to love him, God created our life. And he wants to be Lord of all. He wants to be first. And so, you know, he said that, you know, we think about all the problems and the things going on. And like Paul said, there's all these battles. And yet, you know, hell, God delivers under our feet. He said, Satan shall be under our feet. Too much of the time we let him come out and right next to our ear and speak to our ears, and we begin to listen to what he has to say. It's all a bunch of garble. God loves us. I'm not staying the way I am today. God is going to change and transform and begin to take me to different places where I begin to understand more and hear more of his voice. I want to, you know, we have the Word of God here. I want to go to Proverbs, but I want you to see, you know, this is what I really feel like. This is what God wants to do tonight. Something beautiful, something good. I mean, you know, God knows. He understands our confusion. He understands these things that we go through. And all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. That's God's plan. God has a rescue plan. God has a salvation plan. God has a keeping plan. God has a healing plan. God has a filling plan. And we need to begin to go do these things. And, you know, as long as, it's kind of funny because as long as we're plugged into the source, we have what we need. But when we begin to let things get in the way, we begin to disrupt that, begin to struggle. That's when he begins to do more and more playing with our mind. Because, you know, the Lord says, it shall be. If we believe, it shall be. It's not a maybe, it's a shall be. And he wants to get us to these places. And, you know, life is nothing but a test. In Proverbs chapter 4, I want to start there. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. We're going to go back and look at some of these things and get it into the depths of our being. We're going to let God write some of these words on our heart. In verse 19, now I don't know about you, when I'm not following God, when I wasn't following God, I couldn't figure out what was going on and why it was going on. And that's the way it is. When we're in absolute confusion, then we got to look back to God because something got in the way of God. Something got in the way of God's direction, God's peace, God's plan. And so, you know, we need to get to that place where we're not stumbling. And then he says this, my son. Now that you can say thank you, Jesus, for that, because that's what he calls us to be, sons and daughters. Give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. Now, Drew, he's wide awake here today. But there's been a couple times he's been laying back in the pew sleeping. I told him I was going to pick on him. But you know, he says, give attention to my word. I want to tell you, sometimes people, even though they're here, they're still sleeping. They're not giving attention. You know, the Bible says, guard your heart as you enter into the house of the Lord and draw near to listen rather than offer the sacrifice. You know, when a person goes to church and doesn't get what God wants, that's foolishness. God wants to change us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to lift us up. He wants to do something spectacular in our life as we begin to come. And yet sometimes we just come and we sit. And all the distractions of life are there. Incline your ears to my saying. That ain't just one time. That's all the time. It says, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. I don't know, what are you looking for? Are you looking for health? Are you looking for life? Are you looking for your whole body? I mean, do you want to be to that place where, man, Jesus, you are? And you know, that's what God wants. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the issues, or some translations say the springs of life. But our heart is an important thing that we allow God to work on. You cannot change your own heart. There's nothing that you can do to change your heart. But yet, if you let God, I don't know about you, when your heart wants to do something, when you want to do something, you can do it. And that's what God is a master of. He comes in, you know, we have all these things going on, but when we let God into our heart, he begins to show us some things. He begins to write on our heart. And then our heart begins to spring out a little bit different of life. It says in verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Now I want to just go just a little bit from here, because you know, one of the things that I look at this and God begins to say, I want you to walk wisely. You see, that's what, when it talks about diligence, when it talks about God's word and listening, he wants us to do it wisely. He wants us to walk wisely with him because he's the one that overcomes. He said, what you cannot do, I've already done. You know, and he said, all the power and authority has been given unto me. And so here we are in a place where if we're not, you know, walking with Jesus, it ain't going to happen right. You understand? There's not enough that we can do in the natural to make it happen, but God isn't natural. He's supernatural. And he wants us to begin to understand that. So, you know, we have a part to play. I really believe in God's call. How many know that each and every one of us, God has called us? And so the ones we realize that, you know, God, you've called me. And what God is trying to encourage me is, you've got a part to play. Now, you can lay in bed till 10 o'clock every morning You know, you can do whatever you want to do, but if you'll be diligent, if you'll seek me, if you'll, you know, I mean, it talks about even getting up sometimes before the sun rises and seeking God. I'll tell you what, does that ever make a difference when we begin to be consistent in listening to the voice of God, in listening and you know, being diligent to allow God's word to begin to come in? And so, you know, we see that what happens is God's calling and this here, our part, it keeps us on the path. It helps us to stay on the path. I don't know about you. There's a lot of things that happen in life. A lot of things would like to knock you off. But yet God keeps us on that path. And what he says is he wants us to live wisely. Everybody I know that struggles is because they keep on doing stupid little silly things. And God keeps trying to encourage us. You got to be a little more serious with life. You got to be a little more serious with your walk. And so, you know, God wants to make something beautiful out of our life. That's why his word is there. It's not there to put restrictions on us. It's there to make us into something beautiful, something desirable, something that a natural person could never achieve on their own. God wants you and I to be special. I don't know. It's amazing how, you know, we see in this passage just a little bit about, you know, he wants us to be able to, as we begin to watch some of these things, you'll be able to begin to enjoy some victory. Victory over the powers that begin to disturb, the powers that take sleeplessness. And I don't know about you, that, you know, the Bible talks about he gives us power over temptation. Wow. How many have ever been tempted, fell, and wished they never did? You know, see, that's what the Word of God is there for. It's there to continue to help us. And that's why he begins to talk about these things, how he wants us to be able to consider our steps. And so, I don't know about you, I look at verse 23, and he says, "Watch over your heart, for from it flows the issues of life." And I realize that, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of struggles, I've had a lot of things, I've had a lot of temptations. But as I begin to realize some of these things, that, you know, out of my heart flows these issues, but I can begin to choose what I want to think about. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, oh, and they're just, you know, I have the ability now to choose what I want to think about because of the things that Jesus Christ did, and he begins to put this into my life. And, you know, above all, Jesus said, guard your heart. So, you know, I want to tell you, think back and don't get convicted. I mean, you know, let God prick your heart, but don't be condemned. You understand, when you hear a word of God, never, condemnation is the devil. Conviction is God, because God can change us, and he can renew us, and he can empower us as we begin to recognize, I did make a mistake, I'm not going to wallow in it, but I'm going to see how to make it better, that this doesn't have to keep coming back on me. And so he gives us all these advantages. He gives us all these things to do within his word. And you know, he talks about, you know, that if we guard our heart, it will be like a wellspring of life. It talks about, it says, a wellspring of life. In other words, from our heart, God is going to begin to do things. I don't know about you. Have you ever seen somebody going through a really hard trial, a good Christian, and they just trust in God, they ain't worried about it? You ever see that happen? And suddenly what happens? God comes through. Because God is able to guard our heart. God is able to do things in the midst of. And so what he said, guard your hearts, because it from it flows these issues of life. And if you let things just keep kind of coming and moving you back and forth and all over. And so, you know, it talks about in that verse 23 that God wants to fill us with good things. You look at that verse 20 and 21, you know, as we begin to give attention and incline our ears, it says that it will keep them in the midst of our heart, that they're going to be healing to our whole body. Health and healing to our whole body, mentally, physically. Today, more people are so confused and hurting. You know, it's amazing how, you know, God has the ability to straighten out all these things And he wants us to begin to understand that he has health, he has peace. And we have the right to begin to think on these things. And you know, he talks about in Philippians 4 and 8, I want to read that verse too. You got it? Yeah. Didn't I write that down? Philippians 4 and 8, if you can get it real quick. I can read it. All right. Finally, brethren, we know this one. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. I don't know about you, there's a lot that's there that I dwell on that isn't there in that scripture. And so there's a lot of things. And what God is trying to say is you need to learn to adjust the way you think. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's an easier way to say it. Stop the stinking thinking. Because it doesn't get us anywhere. It doesn't advance our life. God's has the ability that he can begin to help us focus. And yet, at the same time, you know, if we're not walking wisely, how can God help us focus? If we're not looking to walk wisely, if we're not looking to be diligent, and so if we're not looking to guard our heart. And so we begin to see some of these things that, you know, whatever is worthy, whatever is of good report. But you get down there in, you know, it talked about in that one verse, Proverbs. Here, just a minute, but it says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Now, this is some of these things when he says this, you know, sometimes we're half in and we're half out. You know, sometimes we just get a little upset and we're just going to do what we're going to do. We're going to say what we're going to say. And what he says is, put it away. You don't need to say these things. You don't need to do some of these things. And, you know, it's kind of important because when you look at the Word of God, you begin to get into some of these things. He talks about putting away corrupt speech. And, you know, far from our lips, he says, put it away far from our lips. I don't know about you, when I got saved, God began to deal with me. I was in a home that my dad, he probably knew more swear words than were real. I mean, that guy, he had quite a vocabulary. A lot of people never heard them swear words. I couldn't hardly bring my wife there to the house because he was just amazing. But, you know, when you're around, you know, the world is just, they've got just a language that is just terrible. And when you let God, you know, when you let God into your life, he begins to convict you. And your mouth begins to clean up. And you don't try to let the world be there. You watch your lips in such a way, and not just a little bit, but if we'll really be considerate, I think, you know, the Bible talks about the tongue and the mouth and the power of it. And it begins to talk about if we'll begin to use these things in a way. And you know, it's kind of important because as I started to look at some of these things, I began to realize that there's something that God wants to, he wants to put that bit into our mouth, like you can direct a horse with that bit. And I won't tell you the story, but I had a horse that, you know, that thing was pretty crazy. Maybe I should tell you a story. My brother gave me a stallion, an Arabian stallion. Told my wife, I said, Bob's going to give me that horse. She said, he's not, because it was worth thousands of dollars. I goes, nah, God told me he's going to give me that. And sure enough, he gave it to me. Well, now you had to break the thing, and I broke the thing, and that was a circus. I mean, I'm out there, the whole church is watching, the saddle comes up over its head, and my foot is stuck in there, it's dragging me all around. But that horse broke pretty easy, never had to put a bit in his mouth. Just a couple ropes, jump on it, that thing rode beautiful, nice, nice stallion. And then we brought a couple of mares and put them in with them. Serious. All of a sudden, the people, after about 6 months, were going to take these mares away. Whoa. All right. So, I mean, they're starting to try to load these things up, and they're winning, and he's winning, and he's running around. I said, okay, I'll let you load up. I'm going to jump on this thing and run them to the back of the property. a jump on them and a couple of ropes. They start whinnying. He's whinnying. I'm telling you what, this guy, he's starting to freak. Something got into this thing. So long story short, he wouldn't stop. So he's just full bore running. He's going to go back. And I said, all right. I muscled him over, and there's this brush about this tall. I said, you're going to get it all. Then it's thicker than the church is long, and you're going to go right through it. And he's running. I'm telling you what, he went through it. And then he wouldn't quit. He's still running. I thought, okay, bugger. And I'm just muscling him over, and there's these popple trees about this far apart, and they're all about this big. I'm going to make it, and I pull his face up, so the first thing that hit that thing is his face. Wham! He hits that thing, and as he hits that thing, I go flying off, and I hit those things too. And he goes running back to the mayor's. Then I walk back limping, and I went back, and I hadn't put a bit in his mouth for 2 years. I put a bit in his mouth. That thing did everything I wanted it to do perfectly. Didn't matter what the mayors were doing. That thing responded absolutely perfect. And God talks about a gatekeeper on our mouth. You know, I really feel like, you know, if we can get the Word of God as a bit into our mouth, that it is able to create a response in us that is, I don't know, like I said, I think it's supernatural. But I begin to see, you know, when it says whatever is true, you know. You know, God wants us, whatever is kind. You see, sometimes we just aren't kind. We're too blank, you know, or too impatient to not say something. And God wants us to begin to realize that, you know, is it necessary? What you're going to say with your lips, is it necessary? See, there's a little bit of guidance we can use to build something that will never pass away. To build something that the enemy cannot take away. You know, our speech, and you know, we look at some of the words of God, and you know, I want to read another scripture to you in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4. The Lord made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. That ain't 24, excuse me, 4, not 4, 24. Boy. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Now, I don't care if somebody did something wrong. I don't care if they just came against you and did whatever they did. If you're wise enough, you can change everything by your words. You can actually bring healing. You can bring deliverance. You can bring all these things right there. If you'll put that little gatekeeping into your lips and not your tongue just take off, you'll be able to see things that you've always wanted God to be able to do. Now, these words, you know, the tongue, words, it says can bring healing. What do you want to bring? What do you want to do in every circumstance? You know, it's important that, you see, sometimes I want to tell people what I think. And it's not going to create what God wants it to create. And then God says, is it necessary? Yeah, I mean, here you are. You got a character. And you're about ready to give them something. And yet, what you're saying, you have to begin to bounce off God to say, is it necessary? Is it going to bring forth life? And it's really important. I mean, in every circumstance, can you imagine if we did that, how many divorces would we have today? Zero. You know, how many, you know, I mean, it's amazing how, have you ever been or ever had a child storm out of the house because of your conflicts? You know, God is able to change all these things. He really can. He can do wonderful things. And what he wants us to do is, you know, when it talks about words, he also says that words can be, I don't have the scripture down there, but it can bring pain. It says like the pressing of the nose that brings blood. Nothing good in it. And so, you know, when we see that God wants to make something beautiful out of my life. It's not just I came to church, praise the Lord, I sang hallelujah. that ain't going to get you there. You see, you got to begin to be diligent. You got to begin to get to that place where God begins to get into our heart. We begin to guard our hearts from these things, and we begin to realize that victory, you know, over temptation and all these things, that I have to walk wisely before God. And as I begin to do some of these things, I begin to see God. Now, how many know that it talks about in there, if you look at these verses, it talks about our eyes. It talks about guard your eyes. And it's really amazing, because when it talks about these things, he says, be careful what you look at. You know, I know that a lot of good men have lost a lot of good women because they've played around and said, wow, look at that. Woo-hoo. They lost a lot of good women. A lot of faithful women, a lot of ones that, and you know, I mean, God wants us to be concerned with these things very much. And he said to guard your eyes. Be careful what you look at. You know, when it comes to today and the internet, man, I'm telling you what. I mean, all you got to do is watch a commercial on television. Huh? It's amazing. I thought we watched the Super Bowl, and I thought, oh, man, you better turn off halftime because it's going to be a pervert show. You know, it wasn't quite no pervert show, but, you know, it wasn't as bad as some of the other ones, but it wasn't necessarily good either, you know. And so, you know, God wants us to be careful, and that's, you know, I mean, even if other people are there, you don't have to sit there, you know. You don't have to give it your opinion. We were there, and somebody's giving me their opinion, and I'm thinking, I don't need your opinion. I already refused it. I got God. So, you know, he said, you know, when it comes to social media, all these things, you know, he talks about in there, in that verse 25, you know, in Proverbs 4, I want to look at that one real quick just again, but it says, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. When he says that, what is he telling us? You know, what is he telling us? You know, I mean, we got to get that before we get into the internet, before we sit down with our phone or whatever we do. That's what we got to get into our heart, because he wants us to be careful. And you know, because he talks about some of these things, I want to read to you Matthew 6. In verses 22, 23, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. Ooh. So then if the eye is clear, this is New Testament. Now your whole body will be full of light. I'll tell you what is God? Light. What does light do? Light exposes. Light is something that makes everything clear. Light is something that says, and so it says, but if the eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. Now, what happens when there's darkness? You're stumbling. You don't even know what you're stumbling over. Oh, I keep falling. You know, you try to get people just to get serious about Jesus and the Word of God, because he can show you how to overcome all the things that are in life. It says, if then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? I want to tell you, the more you begin to not look straight ahead at what God is doing, what God wants you to do, the darker it becomes. You know, like Rocky said, he was doing really good, solid. Something happened. He allowed his eyes and his mouth and these things going, and suddenly he was in a place he didn't want to be. Thank be to God. You know, I mean, you know, God don't leave us there, but he'll let us get a taste of ourself and our old fallen nature. And then we get to come back again and be strong in the things of God. But I want to tell you, then he's saying, now I want you to be serious. I want you to guard these things. You don't play with the enemy. The enemy is much wiser than man is. And so he wants us to be able to avoid temptation, does he? And so he says, be careful where you go. Well, I know a lot of people go a lot of crazy places. Be careful where you go. You know, if you're going to one place and it isn't that great, ask God, is there somewhere better I can go? Yeah. I'm sure that there is a lot of places that we can go. And so we get to this place again. He talks about in verses 20, I want to read verses 26 and 27 of Proverbs. It says, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. How many know that God, he's not a jokester? He's serious. You know, how many take consideration every day when you get up or what they're doing, where they're going? Are we watching our mouth? Because with our mouth we can create things, the Bible says, either good or bad. And these are things that God gives us the right to do. And so I don't know, you know, see, as we begin to put God in that first place, there is no confusion about it. But he does want us, again, to watch the path of our feet, that our ways will be established. And says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your feet from evil. And so, you know, the more that I begin to look at some of these things, I begin to realize that, you know, there's a little bit of a writer in Hebrews that said some things kind of similar just a little bit. In Hebrews in 12, in verses 1 and 2, it says this. Therefore, since so great a cloud of witnesses surround us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance a race set before us. It's continuous. Old Testament into the New Testament, God wants to guide us. And he wants us to begin to look at what is there. And then he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. You know, I don't know about you, just fixing our eyes on Jesus. Who's going to get us out of a mess? Who's going to bless us? Who's going to heal us? Who's going to show us how to raise kids? Huh? Who's going to show us how to turn our job into something that isn't miserable but something good? Jesus is it. And if we lose focus, I mean, if something happens, then suddenly all these things begin to kind of transpire. Why am I where I'm at? A lot of people ask that question. And God is saying, I know a way to get you out of there. I know a way to get you out of there, and it's really not that hard. And, you know, it's important, because I want to go down to verses 12 and 13 in that same chapter. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that your limbs will not be lame and not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Make straight paths. Make solid decisions. Don't deviate from those decisions. Don't suddenly say, well, one more time, or this or that, or any other kind of thing. God wants you to be able to overcome. And that's what Jesus came to do. And so, you know, we see that. We look at some of these things that God is trying to say, and I get to this point where I wrote this down, that what really matters is how we respond to what Jesus has done. In your life, what matters is how you respond to what Jesus Christ has already done. And it's important that, you know, what I do with what I have. God has given us something. He's given us life. And whether I embrace it and whether I nurture it, whether I try to, you know, cause it to grow, you know, these things, God has given us something, an ability. And you know, we look at some of these things that Jesus suffered so that we don't have to suffer. Yet people are constantly suffering in ways that, you know, and not only did he suffer that we don't have to suffer, we don't have to cause others to suffer. That's important. A lot of times, see, we get to that place, but, you know, God wants us to be able to be a help. I don't know about you, but he wants us to be able to be a help. He wants us to be able to help others. And so we think about the cross, we think about the resurrection of Jesus, what Jesus did, the good works, and you know, he experienced suffering that was just unbelievable. And it talks about, you know, this suffering, that the separation from God is really, you know, he talked about in that verse in Matthew 27. You know, he talked about, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But you know, we realize that as he said that, you know, he was actually out of God's presence, and he was expelled, and he was suffering. And so it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despising the shame. See, there's some things going in there that God wants to do, but he's saying this, that if you'll do this, there's going to be a joy set before you that, you know, that no one else can give you, that nothing else can give you. It's a solid walk. It's a solid life. You don't have to worry about what the world does. You don't have to worry about your bank account. You don't have to worry about your medical. You don't have to worry about nothing. God is going to take care of you. He's going to do some things that only God can do. And so, you know, he suffered for us, that we don't have to suffer. You know, it talked about that ninth hour. That's what happened. And he made a way back into the presence of God. You see, what I'm talking about is it's not something that you can just do on your own. He already did it. He wants you to understand that he's already made a victory. And if we'll just get a little more serious all along with what we're doing, we're going to see more victory in our life. We're going to see more things that we're looking for in our life. I want to go on just a little bit, but he made a way back into the presence of the Lord. You know, we see in Matthew 27, verses 51, you know, when Jesus went there and he died, it talked about, you know, the moment that he died, it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rock split. The tomb opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, he entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things were happening, became very affrighted and said, truly, this is the Son of God. Now, what we see is God tore that separation between us and God. See, God did the suffering. He did things, and you know, he just said, Harley, the more you begin to realize what I did, the more you're going to understand where you can go and what you can do. The more you can have of the presence of God within your life. And you know, it's not something just to, you know, to entertain with. It's something to create freedom with. And we begin to see some stuff in there that, you know, God made a way into the holy place. You know, we know in Hebrews there, I'm not going to get into it, but we know that there was a separation. And as that came, that people couldn't go into the presence of God. But now we can, because of what Jesus Christ did. And we began to see, you know, he begins to talk about these things. You know, I don't know, but when I got saved, I began to realize something, that when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, something happened. Now I actually have a choice. You see, before, I was driven, and I was running, and I was everything else. But when Jesus truly comes in, and when you give it over to Jesus, now you do have a choice to think what you want to think, to do what you want to do, to go where you want to go. Satan cannot drive you. If you begin to guard some of these things, do some of these things, he will not be able to tempt you beyond what you're able. The Bible even says these things. And so I begin to see that, you know, I can begin to think right. I can have a sound mind. I can begin to walk right. That God talks about a walk on his holy highway. He said a walk where the enemy can't get. The enemy can't come upon God's highway. You understand? That's where we want to walk in our life. And it goes on, it talks about, you know, that through his presence and through this light, that, you know, it was a precious thing when I began to learn how I'm no longer pushed. I don't know about you. How many of you ever felt being driven? Just, man, I mean, just, you're being pushed. You don't want to, but you're just being pushed. You're being bugged. You're being tormented. And suddenly God begins to do something different. And then he says, follow me. Follow me. He wants to lead us. You know, I don't know about you. No matter what, sometimes I've been in places and situations, stuff that you could not figure out if you even tried. But because he said he wants to lead us. He wants to lead us by his Spirit. I don't know about you, but in Romans, we read that all the time. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of the world, leading to fear again, but to receive the spirit of adoption of sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. You know, God wants us to refocus on what he has for us. You know, we spend so much time trying to think our way out of something rather than truly taking the Word of God and coming out and into God's presence. In Christ is a place where God wants us to be. And, you know, we see as we get into the book of Exodus, I'm almost done here, but Exodus chapter 14. Verse 16. Moses was leading the people out of Egypt. God, we preached a message about that a little bit. God's intention was, let my people go. That's his whole purpose. Let my people go. Let them go and serve me. Let them go and follow me. That's God's purpose. And so Moses was there, and it says in verse 16, it says, and as you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horses. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I honor through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. Now we begin to realize something there that, you know, I'll get into another couple quick verses. But, you know, here, you know, when God sets us free, what does he set us free for? To serve him, to love him. You know, most people just, they go to church. I go to church. The devil goes to church. You got to do more than go to church. You know, it's important that, you know, Moses, God said, you know, Moses had a part to play. God gave him a staff and he said, lift your hand, tap the water, and it will divide. And your people will cross on dry land. And then he says, tap it again and I'll cause the sea to come on your enemies. How many know that Moses had a part to play? He had to go and he had to speak the words of truth. He had to do some of these things. And that's what God, you know, that's what the church is supposed to be. We have been born again into the body of Christ. God wants us to learn of him. And he wants us to begin to grow in a place where not only can we go, but we can help others go in the same way. And so all of a sudden, you know, but we spend so much of our time being caught up in all kinds of things that, you know, sometimes we don't even think how to control our own tongue. And all these things begin to start there. See, God wants to make something beautiful out of our life. And there's ways that he does it. He just starts in these little things and he begins to improve us and he begins to bring in more light. And the more light, I want to tell you, more light God brings into your life, the better you begin to see what's going on and how to go where you need to go. And it's good that we begin to realize some of these things. And, you know, God's part, you know, it was a lot harder than Moses' part, wasn't it? Moses was a touch of water and then God had to separate it. See, God's part, he don't have a problem with. He's not asking us to do something we cannot do, but he raised his hand and he stretched it out. And, you know, it's kind of important because I see this here. You know, when we were getting saved and some things were going on and for a lot of years, I began to realize that, you know, God says that, I give you authority. And he says, we can lay hands on people and we can impart something from God. He said, go lay hands on them, pray for them. And I remember praying for the Holy Ghost, people praying for me. I remember praying for other people for the Holy Spirit. And you know, I mean, our job is to begin, you know, I mean, they need the Spirit of God. People today need the Spirit of God in order to be free and not driven. And we need to begin to bring the Holy Spirit to people in their lives right where they're at, you know, and begin to get, you know, encourage them to, you know, we spend all our time trying to be blessed and run around like gypsies and go to this meeting, that meeting, everything, and we try to get everything for ourselves. But God wants us to give something away so that he can fill us up with something else. And so here we are, you know, God says, you know, you want to see me? Go pray for him. And all of a sudden, you find out he needs something, you pray for him. The next thing you know, you get a phone call. Man, you know, when you prayed for me last night, God did it. Now, I'll tell you something, there ain't nothing feels better than that. You know what I mean? No meeting, you have a need. God can answer that very need that you have. Here we go. I want to go down to verses 31. 30 and 31. You know, God wants to fill people. He does his part, we do our part. But he wants to rescue. He wants to bring salvation, just like he brought to Israel. And it's really important. We see this. It says, Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in the servant Moses. When they seen what God was doing, because the people finally stood where they're standing, said what they needed to say, did what they needed to do, they seen God. They seen the power of God. Not a natural person can do these things. No one can do these things. Only God can do these things. And they feared God. And they respected the ones that brought the word of God. I don't know, that's exactly where we need to get back to today in our relationships with God, what the church needs to do. We need to deliver it over. We need to be the vessel that actually is willing that God, we do our part, God does his part. And I don't know, I just came to this place and this is the conclusion for me. Jesus, thank you for what you went through for me. That I no longer have to be driven and confused and walking in darkness and wondering what's going on next. That you can bring in the light of the Lord. That you can make my path straight. That you can give me strength and encouragement. That you can take a simple person and make something beautiful out of their life. You can take a stumbling, mumbling character and begin to cause him into a place where his life begins to be transformed because he's been called by God. Begins to take things serious in their life. God begins to do some things. And I just thank Jesus for doing this. And not only that, you know, all the things that he went through, but Jesus forgave me. Now, I know there's a lot of people might not have forgiven us of everything, or maybe not forgiven you of everything, but Jesus forgives you. Jesus did this for you, and these are the places that God wants to bring you. And so, he not only forgave me, that's what I've found. He allows me to be part of his plan, and that's amazing. That's amazing. I don't want to miss out on that part. That part, you know, Paul, he sang that song in heaven. Man, I want to tell you something. That is going to be beyond our natural understanding. What God has prepared for us and the place that he's prepared for us. And you know, that other song, I am a child of God. I got to remember that. I got to remember that and try to make sure that my mouth remembers that. My eyes remember that. It changes my walk. I allow God to write on my heart. You know, nothing makes a difference other than what Jesus Christ wants to really do. in people's lives. And I'll tell you, God's going to do some wonderful, amazing things. Amen? Well, that was free. The next one's not. No, no, I'll tell you what, this guy that is on this YouTube, it is amazing. What we're going through right now today and what the church needs, he just hits it head on. And it's just wonderful. Because if we'll do some of these things, we're going to see God. We're going to see revival. We're going to be able to bring back some things that the enemy has stole, you know, take back what the enemy has stole from us, you know. And that's what God wants. We want to see the power of God like we've never seen it before. And not because just to see power, but to see lives change, circumstances change, and people free. Amen. Be free in the name of Jesus.